Just a quick programming note. I'm going to be taking next weekend off for the Labor Day holiday. I'll be back in a fortnight with episode 100. Talk to you then. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 99 of Little Brother for the 27th of August, 2022. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Last week's Pwn of the Week, Twilio, has had some knock-on effects. In addition to the roughly 1,900 Signal accounts, an extreme minority, the hack also compromised a number of two-factor authentication providers, including Authy, Okta, and others. This isn't huge, but it is bad. As I've mentioned before, SMS text message-based two-factor authentication is not particularly secure due to attacks that can be performed on the client devices, but this is the first case I know of where the attack was on the server end. Also, as if that weren't bad enough, the threat actors were able to scoop up the secret values used to generate the two-factor codes, which is enough information to generate them independently of the service. The Brennan Center for Justice is a public policy think tank based out of the New York University School of Law. They announced last week that they are suing the Department of Homeland Security to uncover its use of social media surveillance tools, a tactic that is being used by many levels of government to do an end run around the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The basis of the lawsuit is a Freedom of Information Act request filed in February to learn about this information, focusing on the DHS use of tools from data brokers Voyager Labs, Shadow Dragon, and Logically, Inc. The DHS has not responded to the FOIA request to date, leading to the recently announced suit. A zero-day vulnerability in some cryptocurrency ATMs has led to customers having their accounts drained. The vulnerability exists in the crypto application server, which manages the ATM's operation, and has been detected in versions of the software published since late 2020. The attack doesn't address the ATM directly, rather it addresses the back-end server and allows the attacker to access an administrative interface. With some adjustments, the ATMs will forward any cryptocurrency received by the ATM to the attacker's wallet. Did you believe that just being off social media is good enough to keep them from spying on you? That's cute. Healthcare provider Novant Health have recently discovered that a Metapixel, a web bug made by Meta Inc., better known as Facebook, a Metapixel that they had included in a portion of their patient-facing web-based services, had been leaking patient data back to the social media giant. This began in May of 2020. Novant were running a campaign promoting COVID-19 vaccination in which Facebook ads were a part of the campaign toolbox. A misconfigured pixel was placed in an application called MyChat Portal, which would have given Meta access to patient data, including email, phone number, IP address, emergency contacts, physician and appointment information, all information that should be private between the physician and the patient. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. LastPass is a cloud-based password manager. There was a minor pwn at LastPass in the past couple of weeks, which prompted them to respond to it with details and some answers to frequently asked questions. The pwn involved an intrusion into a development environment. According to LastPass, quote, "We have seen no evidence that this incident involved any access to customer data or encrypted password vaults," end quote. LastPass have been most emphatic that no customer data have been affected. However, if you are a LastPass user and you want to be extra sure, change your passwords now. I personally am a fan of offline password managers, such as KeePass XC, and I generally recommend them very highly over online ones. However, the suitability really depends on your threat model. If your threat model involves the possibility of being detained or having property seized, confiscated, or stolen, then an offline password manager isn't going to be particularly safe. Our other pwn this week is Plex. Plex is a highly customizable media streaming service. Compromised data consists of usernames, passwords, and email addresses. And Plex have indicated that financial data are not stored on their servers at all. If you are a Plex user, change your password there. If you have used the same password anyplace else, first off, shame on you. Second off, change it in those places too. Well, this is a victory. The pandemic of the last couple of years led to remote schooling, as we already know, and that in turn led to schools taking some rather extreme measures to try to rein in student behavior. One of these measures is called a room scan, where a student is required to take a video of the space in which they are taking an examination. The idea is obvious enough. Make sure there are no notes or other materials that can assist the student in passing the exam unfairly. However, as these are taking place in people's homes, this is incredibly invasive. It takes an interesting turn, however, when you stop and think about it for a second. Public schools and state colleges have an interesting thing about them that the administrators very often forget. They are government entities. As they are government entities, they are subject to some federal laws that, say, a private entity might not be. I'm going to read you one of these laws. It's actually pretty short, written in fairly plain English, and it's one of the oldest laws on the U.S. books. It reads, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." Okay. Some of the language in that law is a little, let's say, archaic, but the general idea is pretty clear. If a government agency wants to search a space, they need a warrant, and to get that, they need probable cause. A warrant is pretty clear. That is a document that a judge has signed that says the search is okay to perform. Probable cause means there's a good reason to suspect that there's a crime that's been committed. Oath or affirmation means that somebody swore that there is a possibility that there was a crime. You have to go through all of that chain of events to have a search be legal. That law, by the way, is the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, one of the components of the Bill of Rights. If you didn't know that, it just means you didn't pay attention in your middle school history class. Taking a test is not a crime. There's no probable cause, and it seems unlikely that a judge would issue a warrant. As such, Aaron Ogletree, a chemistry student at Cleveland State University in Ohio, sued the university after being required to do such a room scan. He won. Ohio State University have not been clear about what they intend to do next. They have issued a statement, but it's clear that it was written by a lawyer, as it carefully hedges their bets and talks about figuring out next steps. I ripped on education a bit in my last episode, and I think it's warranted to continue the trend. There are some great teachers out there, slaving away, trying to make a difference in the lives of their students, trying to teach them not what to think, but how to think, filling their heads with ideas rather than facts and figures. This is how it should be. But unfortunately, many of these teachers are handcuffed by the educational systems that provide them with their truly inadequate paychecks. Meanwhile, as an adult functioning in today's society, I am still struck by something that I first noticed at a very young age. How is it, I wonder, that we are supposed to be prepared for life in a free society while spending our childhood days under the thumb of a very real fascist dictatorship? Is that hyperbole? I think not. Schools are fascist dictatorships. In the context of a school, you are quite often guilty, even after being proven innocent. So congratulations to Aaron Ogletree for having the good sense and the force of will to push this through and win. Let's talk about another case where the Fourth Amendment could come into play. I've spoken at least a couple of times about digital dragnets and the third-party doctrine and the search for child abusers. What happens when you bring them all together, combine them with AI and an impenetrable corporate tech giant that simply refuses to give a human response to inquiries? Innocent lives get ruined. That's what. The New York Times has a story this past week about two men, one in California, one in Texas, who got caught up in the digital dragnet. Both cases involve men using Android devices with their photo rolls backed up in Google's cloud. Just a reminder about the cloud. There is no cloud. It's an illusion, or more likely a metaphor. It's just someone else's computer. That's the saying we have in the IT world about it. There's a reason for that saying. Using someone else's computer, you are subject to their rules. Anyway, both of these men found themselves with canceled accounts after using their phones to take pictures of their children's maladies to send to their respective pediatricians. Unfortunately, the maladies in question did, in fact, capture sensitive parts of the children, and that is what set off Google's AI. Now, the great thing about AI is that they are good at identifying things. The not great thing about them is that they are completely incapable of identifying intent. For the man in California, this meant that his Google accounts were closed. Gone was his phone service, which was through Google Fi. Gone are his contacts, which had accumulated over a decade. Gone was his access to his email, which was on Gmail. Gone are the family photos he had taken over the years. Google have been all but completely unresponsive. He was able to file a request for reconsideration with explanation, but what he got in response was a terse non-explanation of why they weren't going to do that and a police investigation. The police, by the way, concluded that no crime occurred, but were unable to call him to tell him so because his phone service had been canceled by Google. However, he did now have a written copy of the police report. So, with this report in hand, vindication, he attempted once again to get his accounts reinstated. Once again, Google has refused. Make of that what you will. As usual, we will end this week's show with the fail of the week. I swear, I am not taking aim at Tesla. I generally like the core idea of what they've done by making electric cars practical. However, they are heaping on loads and loads of additional technology, which, while very cool, has some risks. Self-driving is one of the technologies that they have been pioneering. A group that calls themselves the Dawn Project have recorded and posted a video of Tesla's autopilot malfunctioning badly. In the video, a Tesla is seen mowing down child-sized mannequins, suggesting that self-driving cars might not be able to properly identify a child. Tesla could have issued a statement indicating how horrified they are over this, and they would have been completely in the right to do so. They did not. Tesla could have stated that they were going to investigate the concerns, wording it very carefully to state that they haven't confirmed or accepted blame, that they were going to investigate it, and maybe even use some of that magical corporate phrase, determine the next steps. They did not. No. What Tesla did instead is they demanded that the Dawn Project remove the video. That's not how you handle embarrassing content. There's a thing on the internet called the Streisand effect. It is named for Barbara Streisand, who attempted to use legal demands to get photographs of her home in Malibu off of the internet. Her demands only resulted in the content spreading. The term was coined by Mike Masnick of TechDirt, who wrote, quote, "How long is it going to take before lawyers realize that the simple act of trying to repress something that they don't like online is likely to make it so that something that most people would never ever see is now seen by many more people? Let's call it the Streisand effect," end quote. Well, Mike, I don't know. We're not there yet. Apparently, Tesla have not heard of the Streisand effect. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and The Crowded Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Azriel, Julie Bernstein, Fungaboo, and Snackness for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwned music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. And our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast, or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us in 2 weeks when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. Also, as if that weren't bad enough, I just realized the fan is still on. Alright, we'll start all over. This isn't huge, but it is bad. As I've mentioned before, I've just left my phone on and it just booped. Can we please actually do the fucking episode now? As I've mentioned before, SMS text-based This is the fourth time through this now, you know that, right? The Brennan Center for Justice is a public policy think tank based out of the New York University Law School, Law School of Law? That's from the Redundancy Department of Redundancy. Or is it the Department of Redundancy Department? They announced last week that they are using, yes, they are using it all right. I'm going to back up and do that previous paragraph, the one before that one more time. Who attempted to use legal demands to get photographs of her home is likely to make it so that something... To make it so that something that most... Okay, let's start that one again.